This is Get Involved. Larkin and Jay Hizzy.
Back again two consecutive weeks in a row.
I am fired up.
Larkin is fired up this evening, and I'm not sure I can put up with it for a whole hour. But I'm going to try, for all you listeners out there, I'm going to do my part and take one for the team here. So, got Patrick on the line with us. Patrick, you doing all right tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Outstanding.
Got a lot to talk about tonight. It is the night before Christmas, recruiting eve in Tennessee land. I know a lot of people are a little disappointed this year. Don't think we've, you know, quite pulled the recruiting haul that we normally have, and that may be true, but...
What are you referring to, last evening?
It could be a lot worse.
The last night's anticipation of the Brandon Warren signing?
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that fiasco and hopefully get some feedback from you guys this week. I know it's been a big topic of conversation with old Mark Packer's show on Hound Dogs last night.
Well, here's the difference between Hizzy and Larkin. I, for one, do not like recruiting, and the reason why is because I cannot stand to be a full-grown adult and have my emotions dealt from an 18-year-old that doesn't know his a-hole from a hole in the ground.
So you don't like Tennessee athletics?
No. I enjoy these guys when they get here.
Yeah, but, so 6 months after they get here, it's okay. But
when you have a running back that's being compared to every Hall of Fame running back from Emmitt Smith to Thurman Thomas before he's even played a down in college, yeah, I just don't like it.
Well,
tell me how you really feel, Larkin.
Yeah. I don't like it.
Well, baby, you just stay in the kid seats and keep your bib on, and that way you won't get hurt.
Okay, well, if you want to be that
once
way.
Once you grow up a little bit, you can step up to following some recruiting and getting in some big time.
Oh,
that's where it all starts,
boring.
Man. That's where it all starts. It's all right. You keep riding the Ferris wheels and cheering for Tennessee, and it's all good, baby.
All right. What are we
Patrick,
all...
what do you think about it? Larkin's crazy, isn't he?
Well, I think the excitement of recruiting is exciting, but I think that it really doesn't mean as much as the effort that goes into it. You can see it across the land with teams with lesser recruiting classes winning ball games. I still think it boils down to coaching, but it can be fun to watch.
Okay, well, I'll agree with Patrick, but I also say it's the over the last 10 years, and you can say that 1995 was really one of the first years where you had access to information. Over the last 10 years, the access to information on recruiting has built up recruiting. And the pundits, whatever, of recruiting have taken advantage of that fact and have created an environment where you get stirred up in a frenzy over recruiting, whereas pre-1995, it wasn't like that.
Well, it's a way Tennessee football fans can follow recruiting for more of the year. You know, it's something that you've got, you know, something else you've got to follow along during the whole year. It starts now with next year's class and goes all the way through February. So, you know, it gives us hardcore fans something else to follow.
I think, like Larkin said, though, you know, you have the pundits, a.k.a. sports writers, who every one of them has their own site, and it's all about recruiting. They have created a market for themselves. There are people that subscribe to their websites, to their magazines, because they want to find out who's going where and who's going here, and it's just, they've created a market. It's just, I mean, we can look at it from the perspective of attorneys. I mean, you've got all these attorneys that advertise on TV, and they've created a market for defense lawyers. So
yeah, but you know, I think the same thing is, you know, they have created some of that, but there's also quite a bit of demand for it. I mean, it's hard to create something out of thin air. I mean, there's a lot of interest in that kind of stuff. So
all right, what do we start the show off with?
Recruiting.
No. Our quick hits for the evening. All right, you ready? This is why
I guess we're half ready since you jumped in there and interrupted us.
Yes,
so
I did.
Go right ahead.
This is what I want to talk about. Your 13th ranked Tennessee Volunteers.
Talk to me, baby.
Talk to me. All right.
Let me hear it.
Let me tell you, boys, we are on a roll. We are 14-3. We have matched the season win total in 17 games, where it took us 30 games to reach that as of last year. Now, we didn't move up that high in the SPN USA Today poll at 16th, but the AP is at 13th. All right. We are number one in the SEC East.
I tell you what, man, very, very dangerous. Too much success too quickly. Unrealistic expectations already flowing throughout.
I don't agree.
I don't like the 13th ranking.
I mean, you got people on Vol Nation talking about Final Fours and bring on Texas and Duke, and I'm like, what are you people smoking?
All right, that is off charts. We're not making it to the Final Four.
Are you sure?
No, my point is, though, this is not the number two ranked Tennessee team of 2000-2001. Okay, this is not the team that was built up on hype rather than actual results. This is a team that's based on results. And, you know, regardless of what you can say, this is a team that has won games, and not just won them. There was only a few games where it was really in doubt what they're going to win.
Patrick, what do you think?
The only game that we won that we shouldn't have was South Carolina. At South Carolina.
Ding, ding, ding.
Every other game, we were in the ball game. But the thing is, Tennessee is a media darling right now. They are a Cinderella story because, one, the players are playing. They're leaving it all on the floor. And you've got a coach in Bruce Pearl who is media savvy. These guys love him. He was on Jim Rome this week. When was Buzz Peterson ever on Rome is Burning? He hadn't been.
Dude, he was on, after that Florida win, he was on Rome is Burning, PTI, Cold Pizza. I mean, he was on all of them.
He was on everything.
The guy is all over the place, and the media loves him.
Well,
and that's why I think the sports writers have ranked Tennessee so high, is because of the exposure that Tennessee is getting. Now, do they deserve it? Well, you know, they're on a roll. They're hot right now.
Okay, well, all right. Well, let's throw the rankings out for a second. All right, what matters? What is the metric that matters? RPI.
RPI is what matters.
Now, CBS Sports Line, I'm actually bringing out a couple right now. CBS Sports Line and College RPI, which is run by Jerry Palm, which I think he has a pretty good ranking. In College RPI with Palm, Tennessee's fourth at 14-3. Their strength of schedule is 10th. Now, you can say that, well, you know, we got Memphis, we got Texas on there, we've got who was the other good team? Well, of course, Florida, you know, Oklahoma State. But it's not really those teams that are really boosting our strength of schedule. It's
the mid-majors.
It's the mid-majors. They're winning. The East Tennessee States that are scoring 100 points a game.
And then turning around and losing to Stetson the next night.
Good point. Murray State is winning. You know, Oklahoma State, you know, we lost to them, and they
that's looking like a worse and worse loss every week.
They're not doing too good. They're not doing too good. However, all right, so you look at collegerpi.com, and then you look at cbssportsline.com. They've got us at number 3. Now, you know, you can say that, well, CBS is probably a little bit better than College RPI just because from the exposure and everything, but they also have the strength of schedule ranked at number 10. And that's impressive, fellas. I mean, that is a good spot to be in.
Well, the RPI is going to drop, I think, notably over the next 6 or 7 games.
It will. I don't know about notably. I mean, I don't think we're possibly going to drop out of the top 20-25 in the RPI.
Oh, no. Definitely not.
You know, and I think as long as you're in that range, I think you're pretty much a solid in the tournament. So, but I think you're right, Patrick. I think it is going to drop. Here's my concern about the whole basketball team. And Patrick, I think you and I talked about this a little bit today. I think expectations have gotten a little bit too high. You got to look at this season. This season has been great. Bruce Pearl has proven what a great coach he is, what a great recruiter he is, what a great staff he has. The players have all overachieved. They've played hard. They've put in their effort. But you know what? There's a little bit of luck factor this year going on so far. And you know, and people may want to think, hey, this is all skill and we're going to be great. Let me finish.
You're
before
wrong.
You start interrupting me. No,
you're
not.
Wrong.
I'm not wrong. Every move Bruce Pearl makes is like gold. It's like magic
right
now.
It's the right move.
But it's not feasible to think this can go on forever. Bruce Pearl, you never, ever, ever, I was reading today, you never take a basketball team who's leading the East, who's on a roll, who's doing everything right, and change your starting lineup. You just don't do it. Pearl does it. What happens? Both players start producing more. I mean, everything. He'll even tell you to your face, hey, I didn't expect this much. You know, things have just come together. We got some magic going on right here. We got a chance to be special. This is not all coaching and players. We have got a lot of luck going on right now, and there's nothing wrong with that. We won a national championship in football on luck.
I totally disagree.
Well, here's the...
Yes.
Here's the thing, though. Yes, we are on a roll. Pearl's made some great calls. But you're also talking about that before SEC play started, we beat all those mid-majors. And we are in a down year for the SEC conference.
Yes.
I mean, we are in a down year, and he is taking full advantage of it. Yeah, am I surprised? Yes, I am surprised that they've done it. Listen, I just want to see him win four, maybe five more ball games. If we win four games, we're in the tournament.
Because there's no question.
The committee is going to want Pearl in there because it's more meat, because they'll have more people watching the round of 64 on that ball game than they probably ever had.
Larkin's chomping at the bit over here.
I am chomping. All right, you ready?
Go ahead.
All right. You know what luck is? Luck is throwing a half-court shot in to beat Georgia Tech. Okay? That's what we did against Georgia Tech a couple of years ago at Georgia Tech. Luck is them missing the other team missing a free throw to lose the game. Okay? That hasn't happened. There has not been the point guard for our team to come down and not get fouled because we're up by 2 points and get fouled, you know, so that we can't make a shot. That hasn't happened, okay?
Listen, I'm not talking about – you're looking at this too tunnel vision. I'm not talking about luck to win any particular game. I'm not talking about miracle shots or half-court shots or anything
That's
else.
That's what makes a season, though, right? You just pointed out the NCAA – or the 1998 football season that it took luck to win it.
Sure it does.
Okay.
I'm just saying that you can't expect that every year is my point. And Tennessee fans are already not showing up for South Carolina games and not cheering for the first 25 minutes because in 17 games under a new coach, they're already getting complacent. They're already – you know, they think this magic formula is going to always continue, and it's not. That's my only point. It's not going to continue for always. This is a special group. This is a special group of players.
I don't disagree with that. I think you're right on that. I thought the crowd was okay on Saturday.
Well, not about the last few minutes. Pearl even said it on his post-conference show. He's like, these fans have to learn how they have to bring us energy instead of waiting to feed off our energy in the last 5 minutes.
But you also can't compare it to the week before with Florida.
You can't, but I still think that many more people can be more into the game.
Okay. I beg to differ. Duke, Chapel, you know, Chapel Hill, man, those fans are going nuts before tip-off.
Right.
And till the final buzzer. And I was disappointed at the fans on Saturday. I was going nuts the whole game. I didn't sit down. I jumped around, but I don't have anybody behind me telling me to sit down. But we had our hands under our bottoms for the first, you know, the first half. It was... oh, well, this isn't in doubt. It's people are now expecting to win, and it's the complacency that you've seen at the UT football games for 10 years. Since we won a national championship, the stadium's not loud. There's no home field advantage at Neyland Stadium.
Patrick, look at the banners, okay? I mean, I understand you. I understand your point. I understand your point, but you know what? In Duke and North Carolina, they got banners hanging from the ceiling. Tennessee doesn't. I mean, they got the women's. They got the women's up there.
Hey, we got football national championships and SEC championships, and our players are still the same. It's more of a mentality. It has nothing to do with winning.
It's a mentality.
It is a mentality in Tennessee, and it goes with football, basketball, a little bit of success, and people expect it. And then when we don't do it, they don't know how to handle it.
Sorry, guys. I'm cracking open a cold one.
Sweet.
So, anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
Yes, we are.
We'll be back in just a second with the next segment. Going to get fiery in here because I'm getting fired up.
I'm getting fired up, too. We'll be back in a minute. This is Larkin and Jay Hizzy and Patrick getting involved.
Man, Larkin, you need to lay off the sauce, my brother. Jay Hizzy Larkin back from commercial break. A little heated first segment there.
A little bit.
You know, a lot of emotion in Tennessee land right now. And, you know, you got recruiting, you got basketball, you know, everybody's still mad about the football season. Everybody's fired up. A lot of emotions running high.
Yes.
Indeed.
All right. We've been following this along a little bit, and on our quick hits, and I'm going to fire away at you two, Patrick and Jason. We're going to look at these. We're going to look at these last, 10 games or so, in the schedule, and I want wins and losses from you guys. What do you think? And right now we are 14-3. We've got 10 games left in the. I'm sorry, is it 9 games?
2, 4, 6, 8.
10 games. And then I'm still contending.
Put your fingers away. It's 10.
Do you agree or disagree that we'll win one game in the SEC tournament right now, quick?
Agree.
Agree.
Okay. All right. So that means 12 games. We got 12 games left, all right? 14-3 right now. Vanderbilt, tomorrow.
Win.
Win.
Mississippi, home.
Win.
Win.
16-3 heading to Rupp Arena.
Heading to Rupp Arena at Kentucky.
Loss.
Loss.
16-4 at Georgia.
Loss.
Win.
I'm throwing it out there. I think that's going to be a slip-up game. We haven't had a slip-up game really all year yet.
I'm the tiebreaker. I go win. I go win there.
Of course you
17-4. Auburn, home.
Win.
Win by 15.
All right. That's 18-4 at Alabama.
Loss.
Loss.
Loss. 18-5 at Florida.
Although they're not very deep. At Florida, loss.
Loss.
18-6. Arkansas, home.
Win.
Win.
19-6. Kentucky.
Win.
Home.
Win, baby!
We'll win that one.
Are you all listening, right? 20-6.
Right.
At Vandy.
Loss.
Loss.
20-7. Tournament game, we win one. That's 21-7. That's 21-8, fellas.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I've said it before. All Pearl's done. Every head coaching job he's had has won 20 games a year.
He has. I know. He has it. I think you got to
21-8.
You got to like our chances to get there.
That's 7 games higher than we thought we were going to be at the beginning.
Well,
of the
season. There is a key component that we're not thinking about here. We all picked that Florida game at Gainesville to be a loss, but. One of their top players, leading three-point shooter, Lee Humphrey, was riding his bicycle the other day with his ringing his little bell with his little streamers on the handlebars and apparently hit a dip and fell off.
Ring, ring. Did he have a little basket on the front with, little flowers?
He did.
He had
the banana seat, the streamers on the handlebars, the little bell. And
kickstop.
Apparently he was, riding down the street waving at everybody and I guess hit a dip and fell off and butts himself up. So he's out for 3 weeks. And
that is cold-blooded, guys. That
what
is
a
cold-blooded.
Dork.
Well, somebody posted on Vault Nation. I ran across somebody's post that it's a good thing that he may be out because, Florida really needs his, 3 points and 2 turnovers that he had against us to really try to win that game.
You are gay.
You need JMX on here doing a little
sheep
Marival
reference.
Yeah, all the sheep.
All right, anyway. Last quick hit. If you do a Google search on Bruce Pearl, you get about 650 results when you search in news. All right? And so what I want to do is kind of cull through all the local yokel Homer references. Obviously, David Clymer not involved, even though he is drinking a little bit of the Big Orange Kool-Aid. And just really go in and look and see what is going on nationally. In fact, since I did it this afternoon, it's bumped up to 1,160 hits on Bruce Pearl. All right? So what did I do? I go back and I look and say, early candidates for top coach of the year in the NCAAs. Where did I come from? Syracuse, the Post Standard. This whoever writes this, talking about the conversation starts and ends with Tennessee's Bruce Pearl. I think that's pretty powerful, fellas. I mean, it's not in the SEC, it's not in the Southeast, it's not even in the Midwest where he's been for a while. It comes from the Syracuse area newspaper that National Coach of the Year is Tennessee's Bruce Pearl.
Like I said, media darling, Cinderella story.
And like I said, we've had everything go our way this year. It's great. But what's going to happen? We're going to go 21-8 like we projected, and people are going to want to go. If we don't go 30-0 next year, people are going to be disappointed.
I don't agree.
That's my only argument. There's going to be people out there they're going to say, hey, they're already saying now, once Pearl gets his players in here, imagine how good we're going to be. Dude, it doesn't get much better than this team's playing right now. I mean, I don't care if you got NBA players playing.
All right, well, then I'll finally agree with you.
All right.
It doesn't get any better than it is right now, but I tell you what I will expect, and I think it will still happen. I still think Tennessee's players are going to play hard. I still think they're going to run it up down the floor. I still think they're going to score a lot of points. I still think they're going to be exciting,
right,
regardless of the talent, because we don't have any talent. We've got 9 scholarship players, Jason.
You got guys with a lot of heart, though, and a lot of chips on their shoulders.
Sure, they
have been losing for a long time. And Pearl mentioned himself, when he recruits, he likes to recruit that type of player, because what happens is you get these blue chip guys in here who are prima donnas and don't want to work hard and don't have chips on their shoulders.
Well, yeah. I heard one of Pearl's interviews, and they were asking, Jim Rome asked him, well, you know, what are you going to do when you get your recruits in here? Or how do you recruit these guys who are willing to practice hard and leave it all on the floor? He said, you know how? He said, because you can see it in their eyes.
Yep.
When we tell them what we do, you can see the look in their face whether they want to work or not.
You know what? I think that's what Pearl saw a lot of that in Duke Cruz. A guy who's a little bit undersized, who, you know, didn't get a whole lot of recognition going into camp, and I think he sees that mentality in Duke Cruz.
He's got something to prove.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, that wasn't my last quick hit. Last one is, let's do the quick volunteer women's report.
Excuse me? Hey, I do have a quick hit. Since you brought up the hits on Google and talking about the media, what is the deal with the New Sentinel putting an article about Buzz Peterson 3/4 of the front page at the sports section when we had just dismantled South Carolina by 16 points, and he gets the top or the Volunteers get about a fifth of the top line of the page, and you've got Buzz Peterson's face plastered all over the front page of the sports section.
Let me tell you something. The management at the Snooze Sentinel leaves a lot to be desired.
The worst.
I mean, you know, Griffith does a pretty good job covering basketball. Hooker, you know, does a pretty decent job considering what they've had in the past covering football. It's no rhyme or reason to what goes on over there. Their website, you cannot even navigate. You can't find which articles are new, which articles are old on that GoVols Extra. It's a fiasco.
What's the GoVols Extra? When they went to the subscription, I have not visited their site once.
I subscribe to it. They don't do a good job of marketing it. It's like $25 a year. It's a decent deal, but you get on there, you can't even find
a decent deal if it's shit.
Are new and some are old.
Oops.
Well, Izzy, what about old Griff? You need to give him some orange Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Well, no. Actually, he's, you know, in reading the columns of his that I've read, he's pretty much been picking against Tennessee these last few games. You know, cautioning against the Mississippi State game, cautioning against, you know, South Carolina played us well. So he's.
Wait,
you know,
we should win, but I only give him a 50-50 chance.
Hey, Mike.
I want to see him eat a roadkill dead crow in the road.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. He's been, you know, optimistically cautious, as I think a lot of people have. I mean, can you give me? I mean, not even your most optimistic person would have ever predicted us being 14-3.
Nope.
You know, I mean,
you wouldn't have gotten it from us too.
You could take it, the biggest orange Kool-Aid drinker on the planet, and I don't think they would have guessed 14-3.
JMX Fall wouldn't even done that.
JMX Vaughn. We're going to talk about JMX Vaughn a little bit.
Punk. What about Checkerboard Charlie?
Somebody that JMX claiming to be the world's biggest Tennessee Volunteer basketball fan and can't even get his facts straight about DeVoe on the board. I'm going to have to call him out on that one.
And CBC, if you're listening, we need some more photos of your girl.
What do you think about hitting recruiting here in the next segment?
We can hit a little recruiting, no question.
It is the eve, as you called at the very beginning of the show, Christmas for us
Vol
fans.
It's like the night before Christmas, man. We're going to get a surprise tomorrow. You wait and see. We're going to get one. I'm going to talk a little bit about what it might be. But I think if we finish with the guys I think we're going to finish with, we'll be okay. We're going to be up there in that, you know, mid to late teen ranking. Well, you know, not what we're used to. Not horribly bad. This guy's not completely falling down yet. So,
Patrick, are we ruining your minutes over there, buddy?
No, man, I'm good.
All right, we'll take another quick break. We'll be back with a segment. We'll talk a little football recruiting and see whatever else we can get ourselves into here.
Larkin and Jay Hizzy and Patrick.
Yes, host Patrick.
Right.
Get involved, boys. We'll see you in a minute.
Oh, it's a huge rivalry game, in state, in conference. It's a much more important game for us because of those two factors combined. And I think it's a great rivalry because of the great tradition of the coaches and the players. This is one of those games where I'll step on the floor honored to be coaching Tennessee because of what has preceded me. So it's a big game for sure. And it's an important game. I mean, Vanderbilt, like South Carolina, was picked, you know, right there, 3-4. You know, like South Carolina, they were picked ahead of us and have finished ahead of Tennessee for a number of years now. So it's a huge game for us.
How about a little bit of a backhanded comment that Bruce Pearl goes in there about talking about the success that we've had against Vandy in the past?
Well, you know, I got to say, I talked to a guy today at the ticket office, and they're only expecting right now, conservatively, probably 17,000-18,000 people to show up at that game.
That's still more.
That's lackluster.
You've said it yourself. It's a special year. It's a great team. We could beat anybody. We're
okay,
going to the dance.
But it's still just one year. I mean, you know, 17,000-18,000 people, that's more than anybody else averages in the nation.
I know. That's because they don't have any more.
It's not enough to make the place
loud. They don't have any more seats than that. You're right. It's not. I mean, we need. I mean, even that. I was a little bit disappointed at the South Carolina turnout.
Are they gonna drop the curtains or what?
You know, we barely broke that 20,000 mark for the South Carolina game. What was it, like 20,068 or something? I mean, and we're not gonna get that against Vandy. I just like to see it.
It was still a good crowd.
Would like to see
still
people turn out. The only thing that we've got going for us that maybe people will show up at the last minute is this game is not on television.
Larkin, are you going to the game?
I can't.
Why not?
I have an evening program.
You have an evening program.
Yes, I'm.
So you got to sacrifice.
I unfortunately am working with a bunch of doctors tomorrow, so I can't do it.
Well, that's understandable, but like Izzy said, the turnout on Saturday was not what it should have been for where this team is at right now.
Yep.
And tomorrow night, I mean, Vanderbilt's going to give us all we want and more. And they've got our number. They've had our number. What is that, three straight wins by freaking Vanderbilt? Come on.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, it is terrible.
And not only that, they beat us in football, people. We got to get fired up.
People, they don't even have an athletic department.
I know. It's
okay?
Ridiculous. And they're a solid team. I mean, you watched them in that game against Florida. They played really well early. They looked, you know, they ran their offense and made some good cuts. I don't know if they ran out of steam or just, you know, Florida picked up on what they were doing. But obviously ended up losing by 20-some. But that game was pretty close there in the first, you know, 25, 30 minutes of that game.
Well,
but also, Hizzy, you made a good point. The crowd with South Carolina at home didn't get into the game until the last 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I know.
When it was still in doubt.
And like I said, you know, I said it at that game, and Pearl said it on the radio this week, our fans have to learn that basically, you know, they have to help the team, not vice versa. They can't wait until the team to get the crowd fired up. The crowd is responsible for getting this team fired up.
Yeah, they feed off of it.
You know, and I think we need to do that more. I mean, there's football and basketball both. We talked about it a minute ago. The crowd needs to do more to incite the team instead of sitting on their hands waiting. I mean,
yeah, but you know, as much as the crowd, you know, gets this team going, you go to Mississippi State and just beat their butts in. I mean, you go in and beat a team on the road in the SEC by 23 points. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
You think Jamont Gordon's having second thoughts?
I think Jamont Gordon's sitting over there saying, "What have I done?"
Yep.
I could care less. I don't think that Pearl would have wanted him that much. I don't think he gives his heart. I don't think he plays like the Tennessee players are playing.
Come on, Patrick. He's a good player.
He's a good player. He doesn't know if he's got the drive to work hard and run and, you know. You're right, Patrick. You know, it doesn't matter how good you are. If you're not busting your butt in practice and giving 110%, Pearl's not going to play you.
I mean, the thing about the fans, look at, what was it, who the Lady Vols play? I hate to bring this up. Was it Duke that they just got beat by or North Carolina?
I hate for you bringing that up, too.
It was Duke, you know, and Duke beat North Carolina.
They had the place packed out, and those kids were going nuts before tip-off until the buzzer.
Hey, Patrick.
For women's basketball.
Hey, Patrick.
Why can't the Tennessee fans get behind this program?
Well, first of all,
men's program.
Boring.
Hey, Patrick, first of all, Duke Cameron holds what, 8,800?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a third of Thompson Bowling.
A third.
One third. Second of all, you're now talking about your number one ranked Lady Blue Blue Devils. What do you think about that?
Just the fan support is what I'm talking about.
I agree with you, but I think, you know, again, not to blame things on the arena, but it is a little bit of a disadvantage. I mean, you know, you got 8,500 people in a Tennessee's arena. You're packed out with students and fans that are fired up and want to be there. It's a completely different atmosphere.
Well, but against Tennessee, Florida, when they came to town, there was a distinct home court advantage. You could see it in the officiating until Donovan got the tee.
Yeah, there was everything was
going the way it should go at a home game.
There was that electricity in the air.
I mean, look at Kentucky. They're not even doing well, and they still get the calls at home.
Yep. Well, that has a little bit to do with Kentucky, though. I mean, they're always going to get the calls at home.
Talk about the team a little bit. Andre Patterson really has stepped up.
Yes, he has.
What do you think the difference with this guy is? What's he, three straight double-doubles now?
I'm calling it four tomorrow night.
You want to shut the dog up over there?
Have you got company there, Patrick?
That's my animal.
Thought you were going to tell me that was your girlfriend for a minute.
Is it Andre? Is it Andre with three straight double doubles? Is that right?
I think it is three straight.
Well, three straight double doubles. I'm calling the fourth tomorrow night, and I'm calling. He may have a breakout game with 18 or 20 points and 13 or 14 rebounds, four or five assists.
He's been a difference maker these last four games. We needed one of those two guys to step up, and Major Wingate has not been that guy.
You know, if it weren't for Andre Patterson's six turnovers against Mississippi State, we would only had nine turnovers.
Yeah, he looked at that. Pearl questioned that. Let's listen to Pearl's comments on Wingate, see what he says about it.
Major is a young man, a very thoughtful person, I think somewhat sensitive. If you look at our roster, I think you can point to a couple of games where each player wasn't at his best. C.J. Watson had a couple games in there. Juwan Smith had a couple. Lofton had a couple. I mean, you look and point to it to one or two games, and sometimes back-to-back. And so everybody's been there, and now Major's had a couple. And they've all gotten their – they've all dug out of it, if you will.
You know, Pearl really covering for Major, even though he's obviously the guy on this team that's not
doing
his part right now.
Center blocks for hands.
Well, just not doing his part. His head doesn't seem to be in the game. Patrick, you know, I think we talked about the other day, a lot of those passes and stuff, at times he just didn't seem like he was focused and his head was there.
Well, he seems to be hesitant with what to do with the ball when he gets it, or he's ahead of himself. And, I mean, he missed three passes inside. And I think he was trying to think, do I put it on the floor or do I go up for the jam? Finally, in the second half, he just took the ball to the bucket.
How about when Bradshaw?
Either he's going to dunk it or he's going to get hammered, and he's a pretty good free throw shooter.
He is. How about when Bradshaw hit him in the chin with the ball when the shot clock was expiring?
Yeah, that was nice. You know, funny, talking about Andre Patterson the last couple of games, we've actually, you know, kind of bumped up our turnover average per game because of him. He had six against Mississippi State. He had five against South Carolina. That's 11 total turnovers that he had. But you know what? I like the fact that the rest of the team is not turning the ball over hardly at all. Mm-hmm. And that's good. That's good.
Well, and you
but your post play is going to have some turnovers.
Yeah.
And
hopefully not that.
You know, but
hopefully
here's
not that
another.
New.
Let's talk about Stanley Asumnu. He was a starter. Now he's coming in off the bench, and he's getting more minutes, and he's more productive in rebounds, points scored, and assist. And he has less turnovers coming off the bench.
That's the thing about Stanley. You know, we don't need Stanley to score 20 points a game. We need Stanley to give us 8 or 10 points, 7 or 8 rebounds,
and a couple
five or six
of nasty
assists.
Dunks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Stanley can beat his man. I mean, he could, if he can learn to pass, you know, the ball instead of taking some of those bad shots, he can really be a factor.
How about him getting that inbounds pass against South Carolina, and he went up so quick that he ended up missing that dunk?
He was explosive on those jumps. I mean, he got off the floor quick.
Wow.
Very quick.
Well, did you see, I guess, what was the dunk the second half where it was a lob pass, alley-oop, and he just hung in the air for like 12 seconds and then did kind of an overhead jam?
Yeah,
two-handed.
It was nice. Juwan Smith somehow managed to pull those neat passes out of his
Yeah, Juwan's, you know, Juwan still played well, and he's one of my favorite players. You know, he has not shot the ball well lately. And if you look over the last few games, Juwan has shot the ball really poorly.
Well, he you know, when he shoots the ball well is when he squares up and he gets a good look at the basket. When he's shooting the three-point shot where he's falling away a little bit, I think it really affects his shot.
Yeah, I don't think he does anymore. I think he's one of those momentum-type guys, man. You get him in a big game setting, a big atmosphere. As soon as he hits a shot, he's there. He's on.
But his effort, you cannot question his effort.
I love watching him play defense. He reminds me of, I don't know who, but somebody. Look,
Bert Burlekamp calls him the pest.
He does. Look at this Vanderbilt matchup, guys.
All right.
Vanderbilt, two guard, three forwards. You know, I think one positive, you know, their point guard, Mario Moore, is only 5'11". He is a senior, but not big size. The one thing that jumps out at me is the two guard, Sean Foster, is 6'6". Kind of guy that Lofton's had a little bit of problem with shooting over taller players in some of our recent games.
Well, Mario Moore last year really lit it up. In fact, against us in a couple of games last year, he really tore us up. And this year he's really cooled off on his shooting. So, I mean, I think that bodes well for Tennessee.
Well, and if you look at it, Vanderbilt, you know, really is a pretty balanced team like we are. They've got four guys in double figures, too.
Yep.
You know, that Foster that I mentioned before is averaging 15. They got a couple other guys averaging 10 and 11. And, you know, everybody on their team's averaging a few rebounds, and everybody on their team is averaging a couple of assists. So, you know, pretty balanced-looking starting five for them.
Well, but their point guard is having troubles this year.
Is he? I haven't really seen him play.
And I have to think that Pearl's going to have an answer for their shooting guard at 6'6". I mean, heck, he may put Dane Bradshaw on him.
You never know. They're not huge.
He'll have something for him.
Yeah, they're not huge inside. 6'9", 6'7", 6'7", so decent size, but not huge. Major Wingate and Patterson really ought to, you would think, with nobody over 6'9", really ought to be able to do some damage in there.
I want to see Patterson and Wingate take over a game and dominate inside. Because Patterson can jump out of the gym. He's getting the rebounds. He gets position. Wingate's such a big body. If he ever had a mind to be aggressive, could be a force.
Absolutely.
When's it going to click for Wingate?
I don't know. I mean, he's so laid back. He's got that personality. You just don't know. I told somebody the other day, it's like, you know, your house could be on fire and the alarm's going off, and Wingate would just be slowly walking out of the house going, "Hey, man, the house is on fire. We better get out of here." So he's not even getting excited. You know? It's just his personality. So, you know, he'll get there. And obviously Pearl's, I think, trying not to hurt his confidence too much right now, but we'll see. Let's take another quick break, and we are going to come back and get the football recruiting, talk about Brandon Warren, and get on with that here in the last segment. We will be right back with you. Get involved with
Ball Nation. Get involved.
I'll be back in just a minute.
We're back. Get involved. Larkin and Jay Hizzy, guest host Patrick.
Coming to the final segment, to the part that it's obvious that Larkin doesn't care much for. We're going to talk some football recruiting.
I'll give a couple of comments here and there.
Building the foundation for your Tennessee football volunteers.
It's done us a lot of good over the last few years,
haven't
it?
Where it all starts, man. It's where it all starts. Hey, you know, just think about how bad we'd be if we didn't have good talent.
Hey, what happened to that number one recruiting class from last year? I think most of them were redshirted.
Well, a lot of them did. You know, a lot of them going to start contributing. We'll definitely see some fruits from that here in these next couple of years.
And you know, we could have used some help on offense.
Well, you know, I don't think.
And if Jonathan Crofton wasn't hurt, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to talk about last night, 10 o'clock on UPN. Mark Packer, Brent Hubbs had on their show Brandon Warren from Alcoa.
Yeah, a wasted hour of my life.
Defensive end / tight end. Apparently, you know, a lot of controversy all day. Guy committed to Florida State way back when. You know, reopened up his commitment or his recruiting rather. You know, family, grandmother wanted him to go to Tennessee. Family apparently wanted him to go to Tennessee. Visited Florida State a couple weeks ago. Had his official visit to Tennessee this past weekend. You know, a lot of speculation what was going to happen. Gets on the show and on a local Tennessee station, yanks out his Florida State sweatshirt and tells the world he's going to Florida State.
Give it up for Mark Packer.
Dude, a lot of people are unhappy with Mark Packer for that whole scenario. I mean, I've got people, you know, I've seen some stuff on the internet about people, threatening to burn down Hound Dogs over this whole thing. You know, never shopping there again and Packer this. I mean, what do you think about it? I mean, is it a big deal? Should it have been done? What do you guys think?
Hey, Packer,
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You know, my whole thing about that show was I started watching it when did it start? 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock?
10.
All right, 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, I was expecting, you know, as a lot of had said in the past, that, you know, we're going to hear pretty quickly. Well, it ended up being an hour show. Well, obviously, the whole build up was just so that you get ratings for the show.
Right. They saved it to the very last part.
And I thought that was a little cheap.
Well, my thoughts are, I don't think that Brandon Warren particularly wanted to do that show.
Well, obviously not.
I think that Packer strong-armed him a little bit and had made some promises to some sponsors that Brandon Warren was going to be on the show. I don't think Brandon Warren wanted to come on Hound Dogs Locker Room, a Tennessee fan show, and commit to Florida State. But it happened for whatever reason, and now I'm sure that there's moving vans at Mark Packer's house tonight probably, and you know, people making a big deal of it. But here's what I don't agree with. A lot of Tennessee fans, after that happened, are, you know, calling Brandon Warren names and calling him a thug and a punk and, you know, calling his family out and saying the kid's going to end up in jail and blah, blah, blah. I think it's pretty low class, you know. I mean, I'm far from claiming to be the classiest guy on this planet, and I can, you know, I can...
no argument there.
I can slam him with the best of them, but, you know, I just think, you know, you're talking about a local 17-year-old kid, and you know, surprisingly enough, you know, a lot of parents and people and recruits read these message boards. I mean, Mark Packer on the radio this morning was urging these recruits and parents and people not to read these message boards, chat boards, as he called them. Because, you know, it's just brutal. And I tend to agree with him when you've got people, you know, calling these guys names and calling them out. I mean, I just don't think it sets a good example.
Good point there, Jay.
Is anybody going to help me out in this segment? Patrick, you still with us? You get cut off? Or
listen, when he did what he did, and I hope it's not Packer that they got him on there, and what you say is true, because if he literally went on the show just so that he could thumb his nose at the Volunteer faithful, then I don't have any use for him. I mean,
I don't think he did that. I think Packer pressured him into it.
Brandon Warren wanted to go to Florida State. Big whoop. My problem with it is, why did the kid want to go to Florida State? We are losing top prospects out of Tennessee on a regular basis. Fulmer's supposed to be one of the greatest recruiters, and I think they're doing well this year given their win-loss record from this past year. But being such a good recruiter, why are we losing? Why did we lose one of the best prospects last year to Southern Cal?
Yeah, that was a blow.
I mean, come on. The kid's going all the way across the country to Southern Cal. Yeah, they got a great football program. But come on. Listen, I'm not going to give Brandon Warren a hard time for making the selection he did. But you know what? What he did by verbally committing to Florida State and then saying, well, I want to be re-recruited, or I'm not sure about my commitment. He opened the door to this media frenzy and this media hype. He told Packer he'd come on. And, yeah, maybe Packer strong-armed him. But, listen, he put himself out there. You want to say the kid's 17 or 18 years old? Well, he needs to be a man and accept responsibility for his own actions. If he would have never have said, well, I'm in doubt about my commitment to Florida State, this never would have been happened. It would have been, well, he,
yep,
you know, 6
I
months
agree
ago, well, he's going to Florida
Supreme
State.
Donna.
That's the end of it.
I disagree, guys. Here's what do you know what happened? I mean, here's what happened on that. The guy committed to Florida State. He went to Florida State. He was convinced he went to Florida State. I agree, you know, a couple of things. Number one, on the recruiting deal, it is frustrating when we're losing these guys in state. And I think, you know, Patrick Turner last year was probably a bigger loss as far as a skill position player that's going to contribute. But I think mm-hmm. Brandon Warren hurts more because it's right in our backyard. I mean, I can see losing the kids from Memphis and Nashville on occasion. But when you lose a guy that's 10 minutes from Fulmer's house – you know, and people have been throwing the quotes all day. He remembers Peter Work's, you know, catches in when he was in school instead of Dwayne Goodrich's interception for whatever reason. He's been a Florida State fan. The reason Brandon Warren opened up his recruitment was because of his parents and because of all the in-state pressure. I mean, he agreed to take a visit. He never really said he was going to Tennessee or he might go. He was always committed to Florida State. He announced that he was going to take his visit to Tennessee. His parents wanted him to go to Tennessee. You know, he had some teammates, a lot of in-state pressure to go to Tennessee. So he agreed that he would take a visit and keep his mind open and not, you know, rule out Tennessee. So he did that. I mean, he never said he was coming here. He always stayed committed to Florida State. You know, he took his visit. He didn't make any promises, and, you know, he kept his options open. And finally what happened was, in the end, I strongly believe, his parents said, you know, fine, do what you want to do. And he did.
Well, let's close the chapter on that fella. We got Michael Goggins. I mean, he's a tight end, and he's on the 2006 commitment list.
Yes, he is.
So is he coming here or what?
Yes.
Okay.
He's going to.
Well, hey, hold on now.
He has.
I would not be surprised if Goggins goes elsewhere. Because, listen, we had a great tight end a few years back.
That would be Jason Witten.
That's who I'm talking about.
Jason Witten.
He's one of the best in the league right now. He's loved by his coaches. He plays hard. He lays it on the line. But they didn't throw the ball to him enough at UT. Why would a tight end who wants to catch the ball and not block come to UT?
Here's the deal, Patrick, on that. He's 6'2", 250. He runs, you know, I think 4'6", 4'5", somewhere, you know, pretty quick kind of guy. I'm not sure he's absolutely going to play tight end. I mean, we've got a bunch of tight ends in this class. I mean, he could play, you know, defensive line. He's an athletic kid. He could play a lot of different positions for us. I'm not sure.
You just made my point for me. They're not, you know, I think that Brandon Warren wanted to go and play tight end. But I don't think Tennessee was committed to playing him at tight end. I think Florida State is going to give him every opportunity to play tight end. But Tennessee would say, once they got him here, listen, you're going to play defensive end or you're going to play outside linebacker.
Come on, Patrick. You know the Tennessee's offense runs the tight end. I mean, the tight end is the focal point of the Tennessee offense.
Well, you know, and is Brandon Warren even big enough to play tight end? I mean, you got to depend on how these kids grow, how much size they put on, how much stronger they get. I mean, it's hard, you know, on a guys like these, it's hard to project where they're going to play. I mean, you can make all the promises you want, doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Is there a sheep in the room?
Yeah, maybe. Hey, I was going to tell you something too, and before Mr. Larkin cut me off here a minute ago, going to the next segment, I wanted to bring up the Super Prep rankings came out for the state of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was interesting because they had, according to the talent Tennessee, they had Lee Smith, number one, who's committed to Tennessee. McClendon, number two, who's committed to Tennessee. It had Lindsay, number five. So thought that was an interesting tidbit. But
where was Warren?
Number four.
Number four.
Yeah, all three of those guys, one, two, and five, Smith, McClendon, and Lindsay, are all committed to Tennessee, and Warren was number four, and he's obviously going to FSU. So.
Well, I'll say this about recruiting. You can have a number one class or a number two class or a top five class, but if you don't have a coaching staff that's going to develop that talent, they're not going to be any better the day they walk on campus, the day they leave.
I agree.
And that's been the problem. That has been the problem with Tennessee's offense for about 5 or 6 years.
Well,
they're not developing the talent.
They're not. They don't have the offensive. I mean, you know, we've got to do a better job, no question. What aggravates me is that everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon. We had a number one, number two ranked recruiting class last year, and now this year that we're not doing good, everybody's, you know, confident that it's not that important. You know,
I didn't think it was that important last year.
Well, it is important. I mean, you know, recruiting is very, very important. You can't always tell how well it's going to turn out based on what rivals or scout thinks or rank these guys. You got to fill needs and evaluate your own talent, but recruiting in itself is very important. So.
Well, Brandon Warren may not even qualify.
He may not. You know what happens, Patrick?
I hope he does.
If he doesn't qualify, guess what? If he goes to a prep school or junior college, we can re-recruit him.
He's fair game.
Yeah, he is. So.
Well, look at the 2002 class. You know, if we want to compare, you know, like positions, Jason Hall, he came in as a two-star recruit.
Mm-hmm.
Paris Harrelson came in as a four-star recruit. Justin Harrell, four-star recruit. You know, these are kids that are, you know, ended up being great, great players. In fact, I mean, you can say that, you know, if it wasn't for those guys, we would have had worse season than we did last year. You know, what I think is interesting is Mapu, you know, he's coming back. He was a five-star recruit.
Yeah, they're not counting him.
Where does he fall?
He's been on the mission field, knocking on doors, handing out tracts about why you want to be a Mormon.
There's been some discussion on that, on why those guys don't count them. They just don't, you know, Rivals does not count those guys in your rankings or whatever. But, you know, hey, if you remember, it was just the 2003 class. I think that year we ended up ranked in the teens somewhere in recruiting. And, you know, it didn't seem like it was the end of the world then. But talking about some of these guys, Patrick, you brought up Goggins. I mean, Goggins has already made up his mind. He's told everybody where he's going. So, I mean, we're not going to find out until tomorrow. But, I think the kid's not telling everybody because he's leaving the state and he's leaving Alabama and coming to Tennessee, and he's waiting until signing day so he doesn't have to put up with listening to everybody.
Well, I hope he comes, but, you know, it's these kids, it's this It's all about me mentality. It's where's my pub? Where's my respect?
Well,
where's my, hey, give me a freaking break.
Well, dude, it's their moment in the limelight. I mean, you know, you're a 17-year-old kid, and you've got all this attention. I mean, how, you think any of us would handle it any better at that age?
Yeah,
probably
I think
not.
You would.
I don't know. I look back when I was 17.
It's called respecting yourself and respecting the process and not, you know, being a punk.
Come on, Patrick. You're showing your age now, man. Come on.
Oh, come on now. I ain't that old.
I'm just kidding. Kelvin Shepard.
You act like you've been there. What did
these kids haven't, though, man. This is the biggest decision these kids have ever made in their whole life. They've lived at home.
What did Emmitt Smith do as a running back for the Dallas Cowboys every time he scored a touchdown? He wasn't spiking the ball and acting like a freaking idiot. He would take the ball, run over, hand it to one of his coaching staff that put it in a container, and it was number one, number 200, number 500.
Buddy,
he acts like he'd been there because he respected the game and he respected himself.
I don't know about respecting the game. Emmitt Smith was seeing dollar signs. He's like, man, after I make the Hall of Fame, I can sell each one of these footballs for $1,000 a piece, and you know, I can retire on this money. So, Kelvin Shepard, linebacker, Stone Mountain, Georgia, committed to LSU early in the season back in October. A lot of people think that he may end up at Tennessee tomorrow.
But isn't that a package deal? Is one of his buddies going to LSU too?
You know, there's been some discussion on that. Perry Riley's another guy. He's a, you know, linebacker / safety type guy, and he's you know, also committed. And there is some deal that he may be a package deal. We've heard some rumblings lately that maybe one stays at LSU, one comes here. I don't know, but right now, I think we got a pretty reasonable shot tomorrow that both of these guys.
We got Trooper Taylor working on him. You got to hope that Trooper Taylor can you know, put a little influence in on him. Looks like a good, pretty good athlete.
You know, both these guys are decent players. I mean, they're both 3 stars according to the Rival stuff, so they're not, you know, huge. But you know, we'll see what happens. But I think both those guys, we could get them both. Mullins is another guy. You know, that I think that, you know, hasn't really said a whole lot lately. I know that some of the recruiting services have basically said he's not really been too vocal lately. So I think we got a good shot with him. You know, he visited here, was supposedly coming here, has been in North Carolina, has been kind of quiet, so it makes you wonder a little bit. But, you know, defensive tackle, pretty big guy. I think he's weighing, you know, 280, 290, something like that. And, you know, I think definitely a guy that probably adds to this class. You know, like I said, right now it's about numbers, getting a few more in there, filling some needs, and you know, he's another guy. I think the other guy that you got to look at, you know, we were wanting a safety in this class. Basically, we looked at the Heath kid, and he ended up committing to West Virginia, or supposedly, I think that's where the word is he's going to go. And now you've got Greg Davis is another guy. He's a safety out of Virginia that's kind of up in the air, too. I'm not sure anybody knows. We think Tennessee's got a shot at him, but nobody's really sure.
A lot of 3-star guys that were in the hunt for,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is. And that's probably one of the more disappointing things this year. Usually we're, you know, talking about some of these 5-star kids that you know, we're hoping to get, or you know, Goggins is a 4-star, but, you know, not really got a whole lot of high-profile guys that went on here at the last minute. It's really frustrating when you look over at Florida's class and what Meyer's done down there with you know, Percy Harvin, number one wide receiver, and, you know, the quarterback. I mean, they've got some kids coming down there, number one class in the nation. So when you start comparing yourself to Florida,
Tennessee's chomping at the bit trying to get 3-star players.
Yeah.
You know, they're biting their nails. Are we going to get this? Are we going to get that? I don't know why we didn't go after more JUCOs. I know that at least one or two high-profile JUCOs turned us down.
Yeah.
So, you know, what does that say? I mean,
I think, too, it depends on what kind of position you're looking for.
Well, I put this on one of the topics on Vol Nation, is that one mediocre recruiting class, which I think a top 25 recruiting class, comparatively speaking, is mediocre. But two of those in a row will really hurt Tennessee.
Right. I agree.
Combined,
I mean,
with
that will put us in there with Penn State the last few years up until this year. That could put us into the Southern Cal before their latest big streak. That'll put us with Alabama with their coaching changes. You know, it could be devastating to this program.
Here's what's interesting is that, you know, you got one extreme and the other. Jeffrey Stewart today from Scout was on Sports Talk. and was talking about some kids that he thought Tennessee might get back on. And one of the guys was Torrey Childers, who is basically a two-star guy that he thinks may fall out and we may end up with. But what I thought was interesting is he said that Tennessee has not stopped recruiting Logan L., who's a four-star player committed to Penn State. And even though he's been committed, apparently we've been, you know, have still been recruiting him. And I guess he thinks that maybe there's a small, slight percentage that he might flip-flop. And
so you think, you think Fulmer's going to pull one out of his hat this year?
Man, I hope
so. No chance on L.
What is Logan L.? Is he a five-star?
He's four-star, but really nice player. You know,
great player.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. I don't think there's a whole lot to that, but I'm just kind of – I guess I'm kind of hoping that maybe there's something out there we can get surprised with. I mean, I don't know. I think it would go a long way towards helping. Take a quick break. Be back with Wrap It Up. Quick hit segment. Get involved. Get involved, VolNation.com. We are back. Wrapping things up. Final segment. Night before recruiting. Recruiting day. National signing day eve, if you will.
And I look at it the eve before the Vanderbilt game.
That's true.
See, that's
true.
You that's, know, that's what I'm getting fired up
dude,
about.
Dude, we got Vanderbilt, we got signing day, and we got Don DeVoe at the Big Orange Tip-Off Club tomorrow.
Sweet.
I mean, could it be a better day for Tennessee athletics?
No, it couldn't.
Absolutely not. Wanted to bring up a couple of things right quick. Quick hits to end the show with.
Oh, boy.
Tennessee still rated 22, but if we can get, you know, some or all those guys that we mentioned, four or five of those guys, I definitely think we could move up into a mid-teens type final ranking, which, you know, not great, not the end of the world. And also had an update, and I had asked you guys this question earlier. Who is this former Vol? His team's 9-9. He's averaging 14.4 rebounds. I mean, 14.4 points, 7.2 rebounds, and 22 minutes a game.
That must be. He's got to be in the NBA.
Your Boomer Herndon at Belmont.
Boomer shoot from the hip Herndon.
I'm telling you what, Patrick, you and I were talking a little while ago. I think Boomer has been eating ever since he left because that guy is twice the size he was when he was here.
Who's he playing for?
Smoking the ganja.
Man, I don't know. I don't know what he's doing, man, but he didn't look like the same guy.
Which team is he playing for?
Belmont.
Nice.
I mean, I don't know. Is that like a OVC Division II?
I don't even know.
State team? What is that?
I don't know what they are. But I tell you what, he's been scooping up ice cream and Joe Weider weight gain for like the last 18 months. Because, I mean, the guy I see now looks like he ate the old Boomer Herndon.
But is he taking the Wizinator?
Yeah. You know, that's what we need. We need a John Winchester update, man.
Yeah, if he eats too much, he'll fall over like a Weeble Wobble.
Jeez.
That guy had a big, fat head.
Hey, he would've
talking to Ontario Smith and Ricky Williams.
That's right.
He would have – Winchester would have looked better if basketball uniforms had a collar to hide some of that neck of his.
Yeah, he had the alien neck, didn't he?
It was E.T. That's what we called him.
Hey, Jay Hizzy.
Yes, sir.
Do you have an update on – the Baby Shaq, a.k.a. Baby Huey, a.k.a. Redshirt Freshman?
I don't have any updates. What do you want to know about it? I haven't really heard anything much. But you're referring to the basketball player Damian Freakin' Harris that Larkin so belovedly calls
A-Cup.
A-Cup, B-Cup, C-Cup. I forgot which size you were calling. Hey, I'll tell you what, though. That kid
yeah,
is...
Yeah, shirts and skins. Yeah, I'll take shirts.
I'll tell you what. I saw him in warm-ups the other day, and he does look like he's in a lot better shape than he was when he got here. He's starting to look like a basketball player.
I don't know if y'all talked about this in the last podcast, but Pearl at the Tip-Off Club said that some people, he was questioned, some people say that he's... that his name is, or his nickname is Baby Shaq, and he said, well, you may have the baby part of it right.
But that's the only resemblance.
Yeah, you know what I love is I'm looking up Boomer Herndon, and you got to love it when they look for the player page, and then they've got the picture, and all it is the silhouette. I love it.
The silhouette.
Larkin, do you have a man crush on Boomer Herndon?
No.
That's Dane Bradshaw. Get it right.
Dane Bradshaw.
Mr. Rocky himself. You know, don't you think that would be a great nickname for Bradshaw? And the guy gets elbowed in the face. He's undersized, undermanned. You know, he's got a black eye, a hurt wrist. He's going against people twice his size. It's like freaking Rocky going up against the Soviet Union, dude.
The only thing left is he's not a southpaw.
Well, yeah, you're right. But
hey, Larkin, I'll try to get one of Dane's sweatbands for you at the game tomorrow night.
Sweet, would you?
Hey, speaking of, we forgot to talk about... We were going to talk about... Speaking of sheep, we were going to talk about JMX tonight.
Yeah, we'll wait till next week.
He's acting on the show like he's the knowledgeable man, and he's screwing up his facts about DeVoe. Come on, JMX, man. If you're going to represent, you got to get your stuff right, brother.
Was he even born when DeVoe was a coaching?
I think he was a gleam in his father's eye at that point.
Well, guys, thanks for listening to the show. It's Larkin and Jay Hizzy.
And I very well expect that the next time we do a show,
that
our
Patrick,
basketball team is going to have 16 wins.
That Patrick will actually have a couple of topics he's researched.
Yeah, Patrick, we hope that by the time we do the next show, Patrick will bring us some content for the show.
I will bring some comment next week, gentlemen.
And I'm not talking about any more piano playing in the
background.
That's
right. We want more than opinion.
And we don't
want
to hear your girlfriend barking over there anymore either. Just kidding with
you,
brother.
I'm going to play a sonnet for y'all next week.
Get involved.
Larkin and Jay Hizzy with guest host Patrick. We'll see you guys next week.
All righty.
See you.